You're listening to episode number 16 of the Preach Girl podcast. Have you ever had life throw you a curveball? I don't mean a little bit of rain. I mean a straight up curveball. Today, I interview Rhianna Sanford, the author of the book, This Special Life, Living Life with Special Needs and Loving It. Like many mothers of special needs children, Rhianna Sanford has experienced the fear, pain, and bitterness that can be associated with caring for a child with severe special needs. Sleepless nights, endless doctor's appointments, and repeated trips to the ER are not the norm for most parents. After the birth of her daughter Kaya, the reality of a special life began to unfold for her. Through every high and low, she began to experience liberation through certain transformational biblical truths. These truths have miraculously helped her to embrace and genuinely love her special life. The pivotal yet simplistic keys shared by Rhianna in her book and in our podcast today will inspire other mothers coping with the many challenges of life with a special needs child to adopt a more accurate and hopeful perspective on their lives, empowering them to live abundantly, just as God intended. I really hope the conversation that I have today on the podcast with Rhianna inspires you, gives you hope, and a total perspective shift. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, it is Christy Miranda with the Preach Girl podcast, and I am so excited. Listen, I am so excited for the guest that I have today. She's my friend, and but I had to not only record this for our podcast, but I also had to do a video of it because I wanted to post it on Facebook so you could see and hear this conversation with me and my guest today. So my friend, her name is Rhianna Sanford, and she is a wife. She is the mother of three. She's an author. She's very involved in her local church, and she is an entrepreneur. Now, today we're going to be talking about one of her books that she has called This Special Life. And I'm just going to just go ahead and ask Rhianna to just go ahead and jump in and talk to us a little bit about your book and about your story.
Well, thank you. I am just, I feel so honored to get to be on this with you because I know you are talking to a lot of women, and obviously this message, this book, I wrote from the heart of a mother, you know, who has a child with severe special needs. And I just think the messages and the power, the empowerment that you are helping to bring to ladies and women and other moms is amazing. And so I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing, but also allowing me to have the opportunity to be a little small part of what you're doing. So
oh, thank you so much. I'm just glad that you're here. I'm glad to introduce my audience to you even in a different way. I know that we had you're friends with my sister Michelle.
Yeah.
I know that we had you as one of our breakout speakers for the My Collective conference in 2018, and we were talking the other day about Preach Girl. Actually, we're talking about Preach Girl, the 8-week course, not the podcast, but the course. And I was like, you know what? I need to have you on the show. I need to have you on the podcast because like I do, I love talking to women who are, you know, using their voice to empower other people, that using their story that, you know, sometimes could have just taken somebody out to encourage them. That if I can make it, you can make it. And if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. And every time I say that, Rhianna, I think about Ty Trebet. I'm like, if he did it before.
Yes. Come on.
Say not right now. Anyway.
It's so good. Yes.
So come on, go ahead. Let's just jump right in and talk about a little bit about the book, what inspired the book, and about your daughter.
Yes. So I will just jump in with the fact that, oh Lord, you just never know what your life is going to look like. And I think a lot of our disappointments, a lot of maybe some depression even that we're facing has to do with the fact that we're experiencing something that we did not expect. We're experiencing something that is less than ideal. from what we initially planned. I'm putting quotes like around plan because we always have our own plan, right? And that's not always the way things work out. And so when we became parents for the very first time, we thought that we were on that plan, on that journey to just experiencing parenthood with that very perfect child. And when she was about 8 to 9 months, like we were experiencing things that, you know, all the way up until about 8 to 9 months that were very normal for us as parents. You know, our child looks like an angel. She hardly cried. She was just perfect. And then around 8 months, I started noticing that she was starting to drop things. She was starting to be very clumsy with her hands. And she was dropping her sippy cup. And then, you know, it'd be toys that she just couldn't keep in her hands. And this was very different from what we had experienced the previous 7 months. And so the other things that we were starting to notice was that the words that she had, she would say mama, and she would say papa, and she'd say ink for drink, she'd say ink. And we just started noticing slowly that she wasn't talking as much. She was starting to lose her words. Mm-hmm. And by the time she was a year old, there was so much regression in her skills that she had gained the first 7 months of her life that we knew something was not normal. And we finally started seeing a specialist, and they started sending us all over the state of Kansas and Missouri, just trying to figure out, why is this girl going backwards instead of moving forward? And then we got that big old fat label, developmentally delayed, on all her files because they didn't know what else to call it. Wow. So Chrissy, for the next 2.5 years, there was just nothing but traveling from this specialist to that specialist, poking and prodding, trying to just figure out and get some answers, what's going on with our child. So by the time she was 3.5 years old, we finally had seen the Shriners Hospital in St. Louis that led us to believe that it was something called Rett syndrome. And Rett syndrome is an incurable neurological disorder that essentially just causes issues from, you know, between the brain to the rest of the body with communicating appropriately. So she pretty much lost the ability to do most things over the last, almost 16 now, which is hard to believe. But she, over these last 16 years, she's pretty much lost the ability to do anything on her own. And because it is a continued, like a regressive type of disease. And so that means that this is our first child. And now, you know, we're dealing with something that is not necessarily in our control. It's not something that it's not ideal. It's not something that we dreamt of. I mean, what parent says, yeah, when I grow up, or what kid says, when I grow up, I want a child with severe special needs.
Yeah, that's not in the plan.
No, that's not in a kid's, you know, a little girl when she dreams of becoming a mother someday.
Yes.
A wheelchair does not fit in that daydream.
That's so true. Like, that's not in the, that's not how you play with your dolls.
No, wheelchairs don't normally come with dolls. You know what I mean? So I have to say that the thing that I think I struggled with the most, because of the fact that I had lived a life of being bullied, I, you know, kind of felt like I stuck out anyway. I was made fun of for some certain things of how I looked and how skinny I was, or the space between my teeth, or, you know, the Coke bottle glasses that I wore. You know, I felt like this was just another thing that was going to make me stand out, you know, having this kid that can't do anything for herself and that needs all these extra, but I loved her to life and back. Like, she,
did you feel torn? Like, cause you, was, what you just a, said really gets me, because I understand that, like, that personal insecurity from places and things that happened when you were much younger,
right?
Not married, not a mom, just a much younger girl, resurfacing and almost feeling like, how dare I feel this way? But I really do feel this way.
Yeah. And it wasn't just how people would look at me, but how people would look at her, you know, just the fact that she's going to draw stares, you know, she drools because she can't control. She doesn't always close her mouth. And so, you know, things like that. And then, you know, we had two other children after that. And these boys, you know, have now just grown to be such loving, caring gentlemen. I couldn't trade that for the world because of who their sister is, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I was concerned about them and if they would be made fun of, you know, because, and these are just very mindly, fleshly, carnal types of things, you know, that we were dealing with, but they were nonetheless real.
They're very real.
So after some years of struggle, just kind of getting to the idea that our normal isn't going to look like other people's normal. You know, we're going to be dealing with things that is not what most people deal with, like, you know, diapers for however long, you know. You know, she's 15 now and she's still in a diaper. I mean, that's just, I am 42 years old and I have my oldest daughter is in diapers and that's my life. That's my lifestyle.
Every single day. Yeah.
Coming to a place where you are okay with that, you know, like it took some years to, you know, not think like I was less than or that she was less than because our normal was going to look different than other people's normal.
I love how honest you are with that because I don't know. I don't at all want to put any words in your mouth, but I can imagine from my perspective, having those feelings and then kind of feeling guilty about those feelings. Like, you know, like I love my child,
yeah.
But then I have these feelings about this. But is it okay for me to have these feelings about this? You know, because, well, I call that the church girl hang up, like where you've got, you know, enough Jesus, but you're mixed with some religion. So you've got this guilt complex. I shouldn't feel this way, but I do feel this way. And God, where to remind you in the middle of what is our life now?
Right. And to be honest, that's kind of when the book came along because I slowly, okay, it didn't happen overnight, but slowly but surely I could tell that I was having, as I started to just really lean on the word of God, as I really started to just depend on him for every ounce of strength and joy and peace in my heart because of that. You know, this battle of feeling this way, but, you know, loving my kid, but feeling a little bit guilty because there's a little bit of resentment there. You know, there's a tiny little bit of resentment there. And I remember coming to the point where I'm like, I don't want to feel any resentment towards my child. So Lord, help me to have the truthful perspective about my life, about her life, so that there's no resentfulness. So that when I can look at her in her eyes, she sees nothing but acceptance and love and joy and peace that I can then spread and radiate to her so she can feel love and joy and peace and acceptance. And because there's nothing that's worth for me as a human, as a mom, there's nothing that's worth looking at my child with bitterness and anger for this new unexpected life that we're living and her feeling that bitterness and anger and resentment from me.
You said a whole word right in there. First of all, it's like, it makes me feel emotional because there's the honesty and the realness of, I am honestly dealing with this regret. Not that I regret having her, but this situation that I'm in.
Right.
I can't do anything about it. I didn't sin to get in this position. Nobody did anything wrong.
Thank you for saying that because there's still a whole corner of people in this world that still believe that if your kid comes out off for some reason, it's because of your sin. I'm like, well, why are we all in wheelchairs then? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Thanks, and friends. I wish. God. Jesus. But, you know, knowing that there's nothing that you did to cause it, nothing, it just, this is the way we say, you know, the hand you were dealt, and dealing with the emotions that came around that and walking through those to the place that you said, I don't want my daughter to look into the eyes of her mother mm-hmm. and see any kind of resentment, any kind of, I don't know if it would be anger. I don't want to speak from your perspective, yeah. but just to kind of reiterate what you were saying.
Yeah.
And to work through your emotions as a woman, as a mother, as a believer, mm-hmm. so that you can become, over time, the best mom that she can have.
That's it. That's absolutely it, through and through.
Because was there a breaking point or a turning point for you? Or was this just over time?
It was over time. I mean, I can remember a period of like a low grade depression, because I could tell that I was continually limiting what I thought our future might be like, just because we have a daughter confined to a wheelchair. You know, I could feel myself looking into the future and it being dimmed down or dumbed down or not as great or awesome as I felt like it really could be, regardless of what circumstances were. And I don't know if anybody out there is listening who has felt this before, where you know, you feel deep down in your heart that there is more, but you know that you are limiting either yourself, or you have felt like you just some kind of obstruction or some kind of, there's another word with an O that I'm...
Obstacle?
Obstacles, yes, that might be holding you back. You know, and there is a low, for me, there was a low grade depression over just not being able to take hold of what the word said that wasn't going to be mine. You know, he said that we are victorious in all things. He said that we are more than overcomers. That was his word. So I can remember just kind of slowly starting to take him at his word and just saying, okay, Lord, you said that this is who I am, that we are victors and not victims.
Yes.
So as I continue to just slowly, and I'm saying like year after year of waking up in the morning and making a very conscious decision to believe him at his word. And I, y'all, the word, this Bible had to be like water. It had to be like eating for me, because it had to get deep down in my soul. To where those emotions, when those emotions come up, where I am like looking at other people walk their kids into school. Mm. And here I am pushing a wheelchair into school, you know? And again, it's just that thing where we do this all the time to ourselves, especially as females. We look at other people's lives and we compare. And it's such toxic to our souls and to our future to do that. Because maybe your life is not supposed to look like anybody else's life.
You're talking, say a word, girl, yes. Come on.
And I think that now at this, on this side of understanding all the things that have come out of my child being born the way she was born, I know now that I can never trade that just for a kid that can walk into a school on her own. Because I look at how much now I have seen God's character. I have seen his faithfulness. I have seen his word come alive in our lives. And it's like, well, if this is what you have for us, God, and you are with us every step of the way, then there's no need for me to feel like I can't do this or I can't do that because I have a child with severe special needs, or even that our family can't do this or our family can't do that. And we just began to like just clip away the things that I think were kind of holding us down. And I could tell, like, we just all as a family, we just became lighter and lighter, and we were just rising together, elevating ourselves, and just that whole glory to glory to glory to glory that the Bible talks about, like experiencing that in our marriage, because neither one of us are bonded down with depressing thoughts now. We're literally working together as a unit. You know, we know neither one of us want to do this family thing on our own type of deal. No one wants to raise a child with needs like that on our own. So we're like, okay, we know the difference between what's a big deal and what's a not very big deal at all. Those days where we're running into the hospital because something has gone on with her health-wise. And Christy, we used to be in the hospital 4 to 6 times a year. Four to six times a year, we're running in and out of the hospital because of something going wrong with our health. And it's just a process of the Rett syndrome, you know, in her body. But I will tell you this, it's like you learn real quick when your daughter is not breathing for 5 minutes because of seizures. You learn real quick what's a big deal and what's not a big deal.
Wait a minute. Don't say anything else. Wait just a second, what you just said. Okay, that needs to sink into a whole lot of people. I'm gonna let it sink into myself too. Like, you might need to like back up the podcast and listen to what she just said. Like, when your child is not breathing for 5 minutes because of severe
seizure activity, seizures,
you learn what's a big deal and what's not a big deal. Wow. Like, you, what you did in that one sentence is like completely remove entitlement. Okay. Yeah. because that is, it's so true. The fight with your husband or the financial situation. And listen, for those of you that are listening, I know that those are a big deal in your life in the moment that you're walking through them. But when you place yourself in the shoes of somebody else, you realize how very much more manageable your unmanageable things become. Mm-hmm. Because if you and your husband hadn't come together and made some real serious husband-wife decisions, if you hadn't sought the house of the Lord and the word of God to be your strong tower and your strength, you would be telling a different story right now.
No, you're right.
And those are decisions that you made.
Yeah, we both had to make that decision that we weren't going to believe any other story than what God's story was for us. So that was the only thing that mattered.
Listen, I designed a course that's just for women. And when I first designed it, I thought this is for women who want to preach. But what I'm learning is it's for any woman. It's for any woman who wants to learn how to study the Bible for all it's worth, to put together your thoughts and maybe create an outline. If you are a preacher or a teacher or a small group leader, this is a perfect opportunity for you to get in there and really learn how to dig out a message, organize the structure, and to deliver it with power. We just finished cycle 2 of Preach Girl, and one of the gals sent me a testimonial, so I just wanted to read it to you real quick. Justine wrote, "It was such a blessing to be part of Preach Girl and to hear Pastor Christy teach. I prayed that God would send a female mentor to teach me, and he sent me Preach Girl. Not only did Preach Girl give me the tools and the confidence I needed, but Preach Girl gave me a sisterhood. Every class was unbelievable. I have notes everywhere, and it's by far been the greatest investment that I've ever made in myself. You have no idea what reviews like that and what just testimonials like that mean to me." So I want to encourage you, if you've thought about Preach Girl, the course, not the podcast, the 8-week course, I want to invite you to go and check it out at preachgirl.org. And listen, because you're one of my podcast listeners, I want to give you a special code to get $20 off your registration. When you register for Preach Girl, put in the code PREACH20 and $20 will come off of your registration.
Well, what's so powerful about that to me, though, is when your daughter was born with the condition that she's been diagnosed with, you had no control. You were out of control of that situation. You did not have control. You couldn't fix it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there was, we don't even have to go into this. Oh, go ahead.
Really hard for a type A. Can I just put that in there?
to have no control over that. But after time, what you did was you controlled what you could control to make your life better.
Right.
And I love that you said things got lighter and lighter. Mm-hmm. Because we go from glory to glory. I'm also reminded of the scripture that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter instead of darker and darker. Yeah. But that had to do with full-on decisions.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Jesus fairy coming through with his magical wand of anointing.
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't that be so nice if it was that easy? You know?
But come on.
Honestly, the word is there for a reason. And if we're not going to put it to use in our life, then what did Jesus die for? You know, what did all those people, all these men and women of the Bible, all those stories, why were people persecuted to get the Bible to people in all parts of the country if they weren't powerful, if they weren't going to be words of empowerment for people? And that's all I'm saying. The only choice I made was to take him at his word. That's the only choice, but I made it on a very consistent basis.
Yeah, moment by moment, probably sometimes.
Moment by moment. Even when we're running to the hospital, like I said, and just saying, okay, God, I know what your word says. Like, by your stripes we're healed. All these things that just coming to mind, Romans 8:28, like, you cause all things to work out for the good of those who love you. You know, like, just those, and I am not the type of person, that's one of the reasons why I'm taking your Preach Girl course, because I a lot of times don't remember where everything is and incorporating it, but it's in my heart.
Yes.
And I know that I know what is truth for me, what God made a way, you know, how he's made a way for us in our lives so many times. And it started with what he put in his word for me. And as I kind of began to learn, you know, more and more about, and kind of seeing, almost like I had to stand outside of myself and look at where I was from being scared and doubtful about the future and bitter and angry almost that I don't get to have a child to watch during dance class, you know, stuff like that. As I kind of was able to take a look back and look at where I've come and say, how have I gotten from there to where I can look at my life and say, oh my gosh, I love my life so much. And it was his word. It was his biblical principles that have gotten me from point A to where I am now.
And you know what's so incredible about what you said is that we just, I don't want to speak for everybody, but a lot of times when you're raised in church, everybody knows I'm a church girl, you hear, well, it was his word. But we take it for granted. Mm-hmm. Like, the Bible says that he holds, okay, we know that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confess, right? That's what the word says. But it also says that he holds his word above his name.
Right.
Like, even above the name.
Wow.
Is the word. He holds his word above his name. Why could that even be? Because the word tells us that the word became flesh,
yeah,
and dwelt among us. So yeah, the more you were getting into the word, the more you were getting into Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he is the word made flesh that dwelt among us. Walking through in the New Testament. So I think that is one thing that we displace. We want a scripture a day to pop up on our phone, or we want that kind of a relationship with the word. And when you have that kind of relationship with the word, you don't have anything to anchor your life on.
No.
And I think that's what I'm just in my own mind, listening to what you're saying, is so powerful, is that you really said, okay, word.
I'm putting you to work.
I got to put it to work. But wow, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too much more of your time, and I know we have to get off of here. If in the last few minutes, and we've got a few more minutes, how could, because there's people listening today that have children with severe special needs.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be people listening today that have children with not so severe special needs, but it is severely affecting their families and their homes because they're walking through those early stages of the understanding and acceptance and how do we manage our life now. There are people that are listening that don't have children with any kind of special need, but they have, maybe they're away from the Lord. Maybe their marriages are upside down. They could have filed bankruptcy. They're dealing with anxiety and depression. All of those things are answered the same way.
Right.
And so from your experience and from your insight, your seat, what are some things that you would encourage someone to do? Coming from your perspective in your world where you're a mother of three, you made a decision to become an entrepreneur because regular 9-to-5 wasn't going to work for you.
Right.
You know, like, you made different decisions and God has really done awesome things for you. If you're talking to another you, if you could talk to you a ways back, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a really, really amazing question. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to answer because I think that's probably one of the last chapters in the book. Mm-hmm. Is living life, you know, living this life And you said a whole bunch of different scenarios there. And the bottom line is everybody has a struggle of some sort that they're dealing with. You know, mine may look different from other people, but we all have some kind of a struggle. And my thing that I think I would say to myself, you know, or to anybody who's dealing with a struggle and they just can't see, they're having really a hard time seeing the future, but just to remember that we are only human, okay? God is all knowing. It is not a surprise that this was going to be something, that this is going to be a part of my life. It's not a surprise to him. Mm. He already had a plan in sight. And just because it's not the same plan that I had doesn't mean that it's any less of a plan. Actually, it probably is a whole lot better. And I think for me, when I finally got the idea that I am not in control, and let myself be unburdened by having to feel like I had to make everything about y'all, mamas, listen to me. You cannot be the all to everybody in every way all the time. Stop pressuring yourself to make everything happen the way that you feel like it's supposed to happen. You're giving yourself ulcers. Stop it. Yeah. And so I think that when I was able to let, I'm so grateful for Kaya. I'm grateful she was the first child in our life because I learned a whole bunch of life lessons early with her. Mm. I learned I can't control everything and I have to literally just let loose of things. And I grew up in a household where my mom was a type A and we just like things were done in a certain very sophisticated, very organized way. And I thought that my whole life was going to be like that, that I was going to be able to plan A to Z. And so just take a good deep breath and just be like, it's okay if you don't have control of everything. It's okay if you don't know what the future looks like, but God does.
Yeah.
He does. And if you really, really, really just allow him to take the reins. And I know like it's so cliche, Jesus take the wheel. It's cliche, but how many of us are making active decisions on a daily basis to give him everything? I don't know what this day, there were days we would wake up. We didn't know if she was going to be alive in her bed or not.
Jesus.
And I can remember having to have talks with myself. Yet will I praise you, Lord. It's not my life. You have given me breath in my lungs. This is your breath that you have breathed into my lungs. This is not my life, not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. And that is a hard place to get to, but because of the fact that I have seen, he literally has been the air that I breathe, the water that I drink, the food that I eat, the manna that fills my belly. That is the kind of relationship that you get to be with the Father. Mm-hmm. You get to be in that place where you cannot live without him. Mm-hmm. And that, no, at that point, nothing else matters but glorifying you, God. If this is what you have in store, then may you be glorified. And my prayers actually started to change. So that would be another thing where I would say, like, maybe change what you're praying for. We can be so focused on making things look perfect in our lives. So our prayers are like, Lord, make this happen. Lord, make this happen. But my prayers went from, Lord, heal my daughter, not to say that that's a bad, I totally believe that that's absolutely, but I, you know, like repeating myself over and over again, my prayers changed from that to Lord, in all things, just be glorified.
Come on.
In all things, just be glorified, because I know in that you are going to give me the strength, the joy, the peace, the love, and everything else that we need to live this life. So whatever that is, just be glorified. That is my heart's desire above all things. Do I want to see my kid walk someday? That would be awesome. But that is not rising itself above God being glorified. Mm. So whichever way that means we need to live this life is, then that's what we are. That's my heart's desire. And I think that that has been kind of, for me, the freeing thing. Almost like we're on this road, of adventure. We're not exactly sure what's down the road, but we're excited about it.
Yeah.
Because we know God has a plan, you know, and it's shaping out to look a lot better than what probably I was thinking. I was going to be in corporate America, probably work, being a workaholic, you know, not really enjoying the life change that I'm able to do now for people because I'm helping them take their health back. You know, like, I don't think I could have imagined this for myself. And I am in love with my life. I have a child that doesn't do a whole lot for herself, and my day-to-day mornings look way different from yours, Christy. I'm sure of it.
I'm 100% sure. Just the fact that you're a mother of three.
Yeah.
You know, different than, you have three children.
Yeah.
You know, you run a business. One of your children is severely special. Yes, your day, your whole everything looks a lot different than mine.
And my children are older now. So even though younger boys, they're 12 and 13, almost 13 and 14 years old. And they can do a lot of things for themselves, which I would tell you, things are not nearly as intense today as they were just, you know, a few years ago when they were younger, or even when they were all three in diapers at one time, Christy. You want to talk about cray cray. That's what earned me my Wonder Woman badge, I say. But I would say just relinquish that control, the need for control. And we're the worst at it as females. We just want to control everything. And just remember that whatever you're dealing with, that this life is not your own, that God has a plan for you. And he does have plans to prosper you. You know, that's not just in Jeremiah 29:11, I think it is. It's not just a scripture. It's truth for you.
Yes.
And that whole idea about, like, going back to the when I spoke during the collective, it's like that truth is there because it is freedom for your life. It's freedom from the doubt. It's freedom from the pain. It's freedom from the fear and bitterness and anger. It's been freedom for me. It's been very, very freeing. And that's probably, I think for me, that's what I would just really recommend for anybody who's dealing with a struggle. God at his word, relinquish the control, and let his truth be freedom in your life.
Amen. That is so, so good. I appreciate everything that you brought to us today. I cannot wait for to hear the feedback, and because I know it's going to bless so many women that are just walking through different seasons of their life, maybe earlier stages, you know. And it's always good to hear, hey, you know, don't quit, don't give up. You can make it. You know, God is for you. He's not against you, and he really has your best interest in mind. Before we get off of here, because I know we have to go, but before we get off of here, how can people get a hold of your book? Tell us the title again, This Special Life.
Okay. It's This Special Life. And then the subtitle is Living with Special Needs and Loving It.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Rihanna Sanford. But you can go to my website, rihannasanford.com, R-H-I-A-N-N-A, Sanford like Sanford and Son, .com. And order it, or you can just go to Amazon and order it. If you have Prime and you just, you know I love my Prime. So if you just, I get royalties either way. So whichever way is most convenient, RihannaSanford.com, or just put in This Special Life on Amazon. And either way, you can get your hands on that like that. And if for some reason you want it in bulk, go to RihannaSanford.com and contact me. And I will give you wholesale pricing because they're this big. They're not very big at all. They're small enough that you can throw in your purse or a backpack or a diaper bag or something like that and get it read while you're sitting in doctor's offices. I made it short purposely because I know mamas of special needs children don't have a whole lot of time on their hands. So I made it short and to the point, but powerful. So you can hopefully get some nuggets and some, you know, tips on how to live your best life, regardless of what circumstances you might be facing.
I love it. And I'll put the link in the show notes once we post the podcast so that the listeners can get the show notes and just click on the show notes and we'll have it linked there to your website. And then also they can get, and they'll have the correct spelling of your name so that they yes. can make sure they can get it in there. So well, Rihanna, thank you so, so much for being with me on the Preach Girl podcast. I'm so excited. Yes. I'm really, really excited to have you in Preach Girl class that starts May 14th.
So excited. I'm so excited for that. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, saints and friends, we have come to the end of today's Preach Girl podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I just really encourage you this week as you are setting forth, facing the different challenges that you have, just to remember that you live an incredible life and that you can have joy in this journey. And I'm just so grateful for people like Rhiannon who help us really get our perspective together on what a great life we have and what a faithful God we serve, and that we make the choice in our everyday life to choose joy, to choose happiness, and to choose, despite our situation and our circumstances, how we're going to face every situation. So let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Lord God, for every single person listening to the Preach Girl podcast today. I pray, Father God, that no matter what our situation is currently in our home, in our health, in our finances, in our businesses, in our heart, God, in our relationships, no matter what we're facing, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you would strengthen us, empower us, encourage us, and equip us to be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Well, I'd love to connect with you more. So let's hang out. Let's hang out besides just on the podcast. You can go over to preachgirl.org and get a free download of a teaching I did on prayer. And it's completely free. Just go to preachgirl.com and you can sign up for that. I'll inbox it to you right to your email address. Until next time, keep shining and preach, girl.